Well, once again, I'm glad to be here at Grace Baptist Church, and I'm always thrilled that somebody would ask me to come and preach. I'm getting down to the end, and I don't get to go out very much anymore, but I'm always glad that somebody locally would have me preach and fill in and do some things that God would like me to do. I do ask you to pray for Brother Antonio. These are very precious friends. I started going to Mexico many, many years ago. And when I started going, the culture in Mexico was not to reach children. They didn't even think children could get saved until they were 12 years old. And so there was no children ministries when I got there. And I was just shocked, because that's all I had ever done, was work with children. And so I began to teach these people how to reach children and why they ought to reach children, and taught them about puppet ministries and dressing up like clowns and all kinds of things, doing Bible schools and things like that for children. And they caught on and began to go wide open to go after the children. Antonio's family was one of the ones that really, really got into it. And I was just so thrilled. I tried to teach them everything that I knew. I didn't know much, but I just tried to teach them and challenge them to do their best to reach the children. And they started doing that. Also, when I got to Mexico, I visited some of the churches. And I was looking around, and I looked in the baptistries and saw stuff stored in the baptistries, Christmas decorations, all kind of stuff. And I said, why is this stuff in the baptistry? He said, well, it's a place where you store things. I said, clean it out. Put water in this baptistry and start baptizing your converts. And so they started doing that, and their churches began to prosper and grow. And I'm just amazed that God would use an old Cajun. Down in Mexico, I couldn't understand a word they said. But the missionaries could speak English, and so I did the very best I could to teach them. We would go in these village churches and try to round up people to come to church. Well, I couldn't speak Spanish. And so I'd like to win people to Christ. How you do it if you can't talk to them? So I was just kind of lost. And I remember they got a video of me witnessing to a cow. I said, the cow will understand me. And I was giving this cow the gospel. But we had a great time in Mexico. And I've prayed in every day, many times a day, for Antonio, because he's one of my favorite missionaries. And so please pray for him. Tonight, I want to speak to you for a little while. And not only speak to you, but I'm going to try to teach you a little bit. Now, to many of you, it's going to be more of a reminder. But maybe there's going to be some things that maybe you just had never grasped before. And if you grasp what I'm trying to tell you about a good Christian, then I believe it will change your life and change your relationship with God. So I want to speak to you tonight about a good Christian. Hebrews chapter 4, starting reading verse number 14. Hebrews 4:13, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, the Bible says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." As I said, let's speak to you about a good Christian. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the good singing, and Lord, for all the things that we've experienced so far. And Lord, for the worship time that we've had together. But now it's time for preaching. And so, Lord, I pray, Lord, you give me the holy unction from heaven, in order that you would do in me and through me what these good folks need. And Lord, when you do that, we'll give you the praise and honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you noticed that the bar is being continually raised for the characteristics of a Christian? The world is casting an ever-increasing critical eye on people that claim to be Christians. And they place a standard by which we are judged higher than it has ever been. The world will spot one blemish in a Christian and then condemn that person and say, well, that person could not be a Christian. Or they say that that person cannot be a good Christian. There are even some people in the church that want to raise that standard to meet their own expectations. And they really don't understand. They really don't accept the standard of the Bible. There are those that want to be the judge of whether somebody is a good Christian or not. The Christian is somebody that came to Christ with some expectation from him, not with anything to offer to him. We had nothing that God ever wants. In fact, he wanted to give us what he had and do away with what we had. What is the expectation of the sinner that comes to Christ for salvation? Well, we found out in Hebrews 4:16. Let us there come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says that when we come to God to obtain mercy and find grace, I want to introduce us to these two words, mercy and grace. When you fully understand them, not only will you be a Christian, but you will be a good Christian. You became a Christian, or you become a Christian, when you receive Christ and you receive the mercy and the grace from God. You become a good Christian when you give mercy and grace. It's amazing to me that someone who has been a partaker of the mercy and grace of God can quickly forget about the pit from which God in his mercy and grace pulled them. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 20, "Notwithstanding, in this we rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Jesus said, we are not to rejoice because we are saved. We are no longer like we used to be, but we are to rejoice because our names have been added to his book. There's nothing wrong with being happy that your sins are removed from God's book. I shout when I think about the fact that I'll never have to face my sins again and that they are gone, and I am so glad about that. But God help us not to get to the point that we believe that we somehow deserve the free gift of salvation. That gift was paid for in total by the blood of Christ, and our fingerprints are not on it. The real rejoicing of the Christian is that our names are written in God's book. Now, here's the truth that I want you to see. First of all, let's look at justice. That's what we deserve. We are sinners, and if we went to hell and burned for all eternity, that would be justice, because that's what we deserve. Thank God I'm not seeking justice from him. Jesus came to this earth to die for our sin, to pay the debt that we could not pay, to pay the debt that he did not owe, so that we would not have to receive justice from God. When Jesus died on the cross, he suffered all the punishment for all the sins of all the sinners if they had to go to hell for eternity. He paid my debt. And when I asked him to save me, he placed his payment against my debt, and that satisfied God. God required justice, and that justice was satisfied in the death of Jesus on the cross for my sin. The blood of Christ is the only thing that will satisfy the justice of God. Not church membership, not baptism, not good deeds, nor anything else that a man can do. It was solely the work of Christ. Christ had to die to meet the requirements for God's justice. Because Jesus satisfied the demand of justice for us, he enabled God to give us two things, mercy and grace. First of all, let's look at mercy. That is God withholding what we deserve. As a sinner, we deserve to go to hell. But because of Calvary and what Christ did on that cross in paying our debt, God withheld that which we deserve. And then let's look at grace. That's God giving to us what we do not deserve. Mercy said we don't have to go to hell. Grace says we get to go to heaven. Mercy and grace are why we say that Jesus died for us. It is the grace that God said we should rejoice about. It is wonderful that we will not get what we do deserve. And we all ought to have a spell when we think about we're going to get what we do not deserve. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That's mercy. And then it says, but shall have everlasting life. That's grace. If you are saved, you get two things from God. The gift that you won't have to suffer the suffering you deserve. And the other is the gift of God giving you all that you don't deserve. He says, if you'll just trust me, you will not have to perish. But then he said, I'm going to go beyond that. In addition to not having to perish, I'm going to give you everlasting life. In John chapter 5, in verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. The Bible says, shall not come unto condemnation. That's mercy. But passed from death unto life, that's grace. Hey, just to escape hell is enough. It's much more than I deserve. But God said, I have more for you. I want to give you an eternal home in heaven to boot. Thank God I'm not going to get what I deserve. But thank God I'm going to get what I do not deserve. Mercy is our not getting what we deserve. That brings peace. And then grace, getting what we do not deserve, that brings rejoicing. Mercy takes my sins off the record and gives me peace. Grace puts his righteousness on the record, and that gives me rejoicing. What does rejoice mean? Well, it means to keep on joying. Just joy, 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 joy. It means to joy again, 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 and again. There are probably two groups of saved people in this room. Those that are just sitting here wondering why some folks are so excited. And then those that are wanting to shout right now. To those who are just sitting, salvation to you is just a 911 number that you call to escape hell. You sit there, wipe your brow and say, man, I'm glad I don't have to go to hell. You are saved. You have the peace of God, but you are not rejoicing. You are dwelling on what you're not going to get. But you can move to a higher plane. You can move into the rejoicing realm. You can start dwelling on that which God will give you. And you can give you what you don't deserve. And when you realize that, you will start rejoicing. You don't see why some people are so happy. You don't see that because you only think about what you are not going to get from God. But the rest of us are thinking about what we are going to get because we're saved. Salvation ought to be more than just relief that you don't have to go to hell. It ought to mean continual rejoicing that you have a home in heaven and that you're going to live forever. Not because of you, but because of the grace of God. Mercy keeps me from the devil. Grace brings me to God. Mercy says, I know God. Grace says, he will never leave me. Mercy saves me from uselessness. Grace gives me usefulness. All some are experiencing today is mercy. And I know that because of the stupid questions that they ask. And they say some stupid things. And I use that word not accidentally, because when you understand mercy and grace, you understand that these are stupid things I'm about to tell you. They'll say things like, preacher, if I listen to rock and country music, will I go to hell? Or they'll say, if I smoke, will I go to hell? Or if I wear the wrong clothes, will I lose my salvation? Hey, there is more to Christian than the fact that you're not going to hell. There's the grace of going to heaven to be with Jesus. Get in the rejoicing realm and quit trying to see what you can get away with. If you ever get a grip on the truth of grace, you will not do those things that are causing you problems. You will be in a grateful and joyful mode about what God has done for you, and you will gladly do anything to please him. Grace gives you the desire to do right, not because you have to, but because you love him. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, very familiar scripture. And be not conformed to this world, that's mercy, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's grace. Our sins removed, that's mercy. The righteousness of Christ imparted to us, that's grace. We are justified. Our sins are forgiven. That's mercy. Our sins are forgotten. That's grace. We are sanctified, not reserved for hell. That's mercy. But set apart for heaven. That's grace. Then we are regenerated. Old things are passed away. That's mercy. All things become new. That's grace. We are converted, no longer used for bad. That's mercy. But used for God's good. That's grace. We are predestined. We will lose our old body. That's mercy. And we will have a glorified body like his. That's grace. Some have peace that you will not have your old body in heaven. You are so happy that you're not going to have aches and pains, and you'll not have to wear glasses or hearing aids when you get to heaven. Your whole hope is that you won't have to suffer anymore. I'm thanking God for all of that, especially for the hearing aid part. But I'm also thanking him for the promise of a new body, a body like his. I hope you found peace tonight, and you found so far in this message, you found a place to shout. All that we have talked about so far is shouting ground, but now it comes a little skinning. Please listen. Not only will we receive mercy and grace, but we are also to give mercy and grace. Those of you who are bitter and mad at others, you may want to stop your ears up because you're not going to like the rest of this message. Those of you who have hatred in your heart and you never plan to let that go, you probably want to stop your ears up because you're not going to like the rest of this message. Some sit in church saying, "Thank God I have mercy. I will not get what I deserve. And thank God I have grace. I will get what I don't deserve. But those that have wronged or disappointed me will never get either one from me." I don't care how many years you have been in church. I don't care how many good things you may have done. You are not a good Christian until you give what you have received from God. You become a Christian when you receive mercy and grace. You become a good Christian when you give mercy and grace. I went to the pet store this week to buy some dog food. And there was a guy in line in front of me. If you look up jerk in the dictionary, you see his picture. I mean, he was just terrible. And he gave the poor cashier all kinds of grief. And he walked away and she was just shaking her head. And she said, "I don't know if this is going to be a good day." I said, "Ma'am, my Bible says we're to treat people tenderheartedly. And we're to love them." She kind of looked at me funny. And I said, "You don't have to have a bad day because of him. You can have a good day because of you. And what you have in your heart, if Jesus has done something for you, then you can do something for him. You can love him and treat him with kindness instead of meanness." I said, "That's what you want to do, don't you?" She said, "Yeah, I'd like to treat him bad." I said, "That's not the Christian way." She said, "You must be a preacher." I said, "I'm a sorry preacher. But I tell you what, I have a good Bible."
Yeah. Come on.
And I said, "Let me tell you what else that Bible says. It says we're to be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving other people like God has forgiven us for Christ's sake." I said, "I'm saved on my way to heaven, not because of me, but because God forgave me and loved me enough to pick my sins away. And I'm supposed to do the same for others." If you are bitter and mad at other people, you're not going to be a good Christian. You became a Christian when you received the mercy and grace. And we become a good Christian when we give mercy and grace. Mercy says, I don't hate that person anymore. Grace says, I'm going to love them. Mercy says, I'm not going to return evil for evil. Grace says, I'm going to return good for evil. Fundamental Baptists need this truth in their lives today. We like to shout because we will not get what we deserve. And we love to shout about the fact that we're going to get more than what we do deserve. But while we're shouting, some of us are hating and trying to get back at others because we feel that they've done us wrong. That's not the way God treats you. The same mercy and grace that he gives to you, he expects you to give to others. If there are people in this room that have something against someone else, you ought to run to this altar tonight and beg God to help you show them the mercy and grace that he has shown to you. Mercy says, I'm not going to curse them. Grace says, I'm going to bless them. Mercy says, I won't try to punish them. Grace says, I'm going to reward them. The father took the prodigal son back. That's mercy. But he made that prodigal son a son again. Gave him a ring, a robe, and a banquet. That's grace. If God can take us back after all that we have done against him, then I ought to extend that same love, mercy, and grace to those that are considered my enemies. Lot turned against Abraham after all that Abraham had done for him. But Abraham gave him the opportunity to choose which way he wanted to go. That's mercy. But he allowed him to choose the best and take the best. That's grace. It's time to get our hearts cleaned out and fall on our faces before God and become good Christians. Quit being a hypocrite and singing songs in church that you don't live or you have no plans to live. You don't have more enemies than this preacher has. I promise you, you don't. But if I can love my enemies, you can love yours. Why do you rejoice in getting mercy and grace, but you refuse to give that mercy and grace to others? You're not a good Christian because you go to church. You're not a good Christian because you don't get drunk. You're not a good Christian because you tithe. You became a Christian when you accepted God's mercy and grace. And you become a good Christian when you offer to others what the blessed Lord has offered to you. If you are lost, you need to receive the mercy and grace from our Lord. But if you are saved, you need to give that mercy and grace to others. In our text in Hebrews 4:16, it said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How is that mercy and grace going to help? It's going to help you when you give it to others. I walked away from that store, and I was walking out the door. That lady said, it's been a pleasure to serve you. I had given her a tract and invited her to my Sunday school class. She was my age, and so I said, ma'am, you have the opportunity to hear the greatest Sunday school teacher you ever heard. And I said, you need to come to this church and be in my class. And so as I was walking away, she said, it's been a pleasure to serve you. Isn't that better than saying, I hope that guy don't come back? I wonder how many people have said that about you.
That's good.
They won't say that if you extend mercy, and grace the way God has extended it to you. Our Father, I thank you, dear Jesus, for your goodness and your grace. I thank you, Lord, that one day you reached down into a horrible pit. And Lord, you lifted me out and planted my feet on solid rock. And Lord, I was just an old drunkard, rebellious. I hated everything and hated everybody. But Lord, you looked past all of that and extended mercy and grace to an undeserving sinner. And Lord, you have shown me down through the years, I've not been very good at it at all times, but Lord, you have shown me that I need to give that mercy and grace to others. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would use me and help me to be not only the recipient, but also the giver of mercy and grace. Now, Lord, I pray, Lord, you'd use this service tonight. Lord, we've tried to teach and we've tried to instruct, but Lord, only you can do the changing that needs to be done in people's hearts. And I pray, Lord, that's what you would do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.